that scene when the men were walking along and they met this person who was really, in a sense, a stranger. They knew him, but they knew him not. Some of you have known about Jesus. Some of you have even been close to him at different times in your experience and lives. And yet somehow, in that experience, you've not really come to know him. And I would share with you from verse 48 of the reading that we read, which is discovered in the 24th of Luke, "Ye are witnesses of these things." Ye are witnesses of these things. Now, you weren't there when Jesus was crucified. And you weren't there when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. But you have listened to people throughout your life tell you that Jesus was crucified, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is wonderfully our Savior. Today you have the great privilege of coming into the presence of the Lord Jesus and knowing that he loves you and he died for you and the tomb is empty and you cannot be buried. You cannot remain in a tomb if you love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You cannot be buried. You cannot be lost. But let's look for a moment or two at the various things that took place. For as we look in this piece of scripture from verses 1 through 7, we read of the women and the angels. In verses 8 through 11, we read of the disciples or apostles. And we read how these men and women and these angels came to understand the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. I want you to see something. For the women's ministry was a ministry of love. They didn't accept that Jesus, though he was dead, was to be left. And they come, having mixed the spices early in the morning, they come to the Lord Jesus, they're going to anoint his body, and they're going to come to this grave, they're going to come to this sepulchre, they're going to come to this tomb. They don't know how the stone is going to be rolled away. They don't know how the entrance is going to be opened to them, but they're going to somehow do something about the Lord Jesus. Women's ministries are always tender, are always loving, and have always been kind. That natural maternalism comes out. There was Mary and Mary Magdalene. There was Mary, the mother of James. And there was Joanna. And there was a whole group of women, and they came early in the morning, and they came to minister to Jesus. Their ministry was one that must be classified, I think, in these words: love is stronger than death. A friend of mine, whose wife died after they were only married a short time, would go to the graveside every week. It wasn't a morbid thing that was in his heart. There was a deep sorrow and a tremendous love, and he went to the graveside weekly. He would go with some flowers, he would rearrange the flowers, he would dig the weeds out, and he would sit maybe for an hour, sometimes longer, and he would sit and think and remember. And one day I said something like this to him: "Do you think it's really necessary to keep this up?" And his answer was simply this: "Love is stronger than death." A woman who had been widowed for many years was grieving one day in the corner of the church, and I noticed that there was great grief in her heart and in her expression. And at the end of the service, I walked over to her and said something like this: "Why are you so heavy of heart?" And she said, "Well, today is the 42nd anniversary of his death. And remembering the times in which we live," I said something like this to her: "Have you never thought of remarrying?" And she said, "Don't you understand, Pastor? Love is stronger than death." We have a lot to learn, men from women. They understand a great deal more than we quickly understand about love. And yet, as we understand that love, which is very base and very ordinary compared with the love of God, we begin to understand some of the tenderness and some of the depth of the love of God. These women still loved Jesus. They saw him beaten. They saw him bruised. They watched him die. They saw him dead. Now they will even honor the beaten and bruised dead body. They will honor their Lord. They love him. They love him. The women's ministry meant to them a great liberty. If you go into verse 4, it came to pass that they were much perplexed. Thereabout, behold, and two men stood in shining garments. I'm using the authorized here. The women suddenly discovered enormous liberty. As they expressed their love, they had great liberty. Their liberty was enormous. Listen to the angel speaking. He speaks to the women. In this verse 5, we discover they were afraid. They bowed down their faces. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living with the dead? He is not here. He's risen as he said he would." Don't you remember that he said the Son of Man must be crucified and he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified and rise again the third day? He's not here. He's risen. And they couldn't understand the colossal liberty that Jesus now had, freed from the body. He was now an agent that was spiritual, freed from the limitations of earth, freed from a love that would tend a body, freed from the love that would embrace a body, freed from the love that would encompass a life, but now free to love the world. It was revealed to women, first of all, this great love. When the Lord Jesus came to earth, it was not deity, but sovereignty that he emptied himself of. He emptied himself of the sovereignty, not the deity. He is very God, just as he is very man. He didn't empty himself of deity. He emptied himself of his sovereignty. He could command 10,000 angels. He could say to the world, "Be this, be thus, and be something else." And the world would happen. He could say to stones, "Rejoice and shout and praise me." He could say to the people of the world, "God so loves you." But Jesus allowed himself to be presented into the hands of men, to be crucified, to die. Then he could take up that mantle and come back victorious over our foes. Jesus is alive. We mustn't neglect the interest of the angels. The angels were so interested. They announced his birth. They appeared at his baptism. They strengthened him in his temptation. They ministered to him at Gethsemane. They had a very integral and important part in the life of Jesus. And then when this scene was seen by the women and the disciples, when the tomb was empty, then they came and they said to the women, "Now do you see? He's been telling you whilst he was with you on the earth that he would be delivered, that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would rise again. Here is the fulfillment of his resurrection." Now these people began to understand. Now it began to sink into their little minds, and they became the witnesses that Jesus was not entombed, the witnesses that Jesus was not left for dead, the witnesses that Jesus did not have to have the stone rolled away. His power was enough. Soldiers pretended, because they were struck as dead men, they pretended that they were asleep. The seal of the high priest could not stand against the power of God. Jesus is risen. The grave could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Do you believe that the cross killed Jesus? My dear friends, then you don't understand the scripture which says that he laid down his life. No man took it from him. The cross didn't take it. He laid it down of himself so that when the need came and the time was right, he could take up his life again. Just as he cheated the Roman gibbet, he cheats Satan's ultimate weapon, the ultimate threat to mankind, which is death. And Jesus says, those that trust me will never know death. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? You are witnesses of this truth this very day. How many years have you lived? That's how many Easters you've gone through. That's how many times it's been somehow reminded into your mind. It's been processed and recorded in your mind. And yet, being witnesses, are you cognizant of the fact? Maybe, and I don't mean to be rude, and I'm so pleased to see all of you here, so please don't misunderstand me, but maybe you're here today just because it's Easter. Oh, my dear friend, you're most welcome. We're so glad you came. But let me explain something to you. Don't come just because it's Easter. Oh, do come into the house of God because Jesus is risen and you serve a risen Savior. This day, go from this place knowing that Jesus is the Christ of your life, knowing that Jesus is the Savior of your soul, knowing that Jesus is the everlasting one. With him, there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. With him is the light of the world. In him and through him is the brilliance of the Godhead established. People say something like this very often. If only I could see God. My dear friend, there is no need to see God. Don't you understand that no one has seen God and lived? But Jesus said, masked in this flesh, masked in this disguise, born as a babe, grown as a youth, developed as a man, ministered as a minister, the minister of the gospel. He that hath seen me, says Jesus, hath seen the Father also. Don't make excuses now. Jesus says very simply to you, come to me, I'll give you rest, come to me, I'll give you peace, come to me, I'll give you life. Come to me, I'll be your bread. Come to me, I'll quench your thirst. Come to me, I'll develop the way. Come to me, I'll give you the life. Come to me, you'll know the truth. Come to me, says Jesus, and you'll be resurrected. Be in this church or any other, not because it's Easter, but because Jesus is not in the grave. Let me share it with you in a different way slightly. You remember that Moses died and he was buried in a cave. And his burial was hidden from Satan. You ever thought about this? Hidden from Satan. The scripture indicates that Satan goes all over the world, all in that region, looking for the body of Moses. I wonder why he would do such a thing. I think it's because we human beings are so apt to make something ancient and something wondrous into a shrine. If you were in Palestine, Israel today, there would be scores of Christians walking in the Via Della Rosa. There would be scores of Christians going to Golgotha, scores of Christians going to where they think the tomb was. And people are using it as a shrine. Now, I've never been to that place. One day, perhaps, I will, to walk where Jesus walked, maybe. But I tell you of a truth. It's not the most important thing in my mind, nor in my heart, though it would be nice. The most important thing is to know that Jesus bore his cross to Golgotha's hill, was crucified and died and was buried and is alive. The most important thing is to say this: I know he lives. And this is how I know he lives. He lives right inside my heart. And this, the most important thing to understand is this: that he lives today and he lives forever. He rose from that dark domain and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Do you know that? Do you know that? See, God so loved you and he was so concerned about you. He didn't want your little bairns, as the Scots would say, weeping over that dead body of yours. He didn't want agony from husband and wife to parent to child. He didn't want that agony to continue. The process of life means this body must die. But God comes to give us hope. And he came to give us such hope. And he came to give us such glory. And he came to give us so much that Jesus was able to say this: my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace, so that when this body is dead and laying in a grave, you know that parent, that loved one, loved Jesus. And that grave is as empty as that grave. Jesus is alive. Now he says this. He says this. People that are alive in him, people that are trusting him, are alive with him. And people that will receive him or acknowledge him as Lord and Savior will not die and not be dead. And people that will come to him, he will never turn them away. And whoever comes to him, boy or girl, man or woman, whoever comes to him, he will give everlasting life. Dear friend, have you come to Jesus? Does Satan threaten you? Does life seem so useless and pointless, so absolutely hopeless at times? One lady I knew years ago, she's gone to be with the Lord Jesus now, but she actually took the last coin in her purse and she went to church to put it in the offering. And having gone to the church to put it in the offering and then to go back and destroy the bodies of her own three children and her own, committing suicide, she had made the arrangement. She'd already sealed the windows and the door, and all she had to do was to go in and turn the lock and turn the gas on, and they'd have all gone into eternity. And that lady went to church as you've come, and she heard that she needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as you've heard. And she came to this conclusion that she needed to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for the next 20 years or more, she served him with all her heart. What about you? Is life so boring? Is it so traumatic? Is it so difficult? Is it so overpowering? Is it so overwhelming? Is it so oppressive? My dear, dear friend, Jesus said, I'll be your Savior. I'll be your Lord. I'll be your burden bearer. I have taken away your sin. I've risen from the dead. I'll be your life. Will you trust him? Will you trust him with your soul? You know you're guilty. You know you're lost. And you know you're helpless. Only Jesus can make you whole.